Amen. As most of you know, and I appreciate those that responded saying they were praying as I traveled, I kind of had a twofold purpose in going to see my dad. One, of course, just to see my dad. He's 88 years old. He'll be 89 in October. The other was to bring back some of his woodworking tools that he can no longer use, and one of those was a 500-pound planer, and I'm still walking upright, so I'm pretty excited about that. And my son-in-law, Caleb, he's not here this morning, so I'm afraid maybe I got him last night. I don't know, moving that crazy thing. But obviously pulling a trailer with all that weight and different things. And so I was been really praying about this. But really had a great time with my dad, really did. And last time I visited my dad, there were times I knew he did not know who I was. And he was asking me who my mother was and saying, I heard your mother was sick and what's her name? Well, obviously, you know. Now, he did call me George quite a bit this time. I'm not sure what that was about. I think he was kidding. But we had some good, conversations. There were times when he responded. It was very obvious he knew who I was. And we just had a good time together. But I want to share three thoughts. This is the first lesson of things that I've just kind of been pondering this week, as I, of course, Dad would sit and sleep a lot, and so I sat and studied and thought. And number one, serve God while you can. Serve God while you can. My dad pastored for many years, was a faithful servant of the Lord. He, when he left Bob Jones, he went out to California and worked at a camp, place called Meteor Ranch. Then he worked in a bookstore in Eureka, where I was born in Eureka, California. And after a short time, started a church in Fortuna, California, and pastored, started that church. We moved to Redding for a couple of years, and he started a Christian school. And then we moved to Twin Falls, Idaho, and he pastored there for 17 years. Took a church of about 50, and when I left, it was running about 400 or 500. God really blessed. And then, of course, they left that church, went to Ohio, and he pastored there for many years. But Dad can't do it anymore. He thinks he can. And if somebody called him today and said, hey, we'd love to have you pastor our church, he'd say, I'll be right there. but he can't. He can't. In John 9:4, it says, and now this is interesting, this is the Lord speaking. Jesus Christ said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Now, most of you are still relatively healthy, and the majority of you still have your mind. And at this point in your life, you can still serve the Lord. You can. Now, I know we can serve the Lord through prayer and those things, but I mean, physically doing something for the Lord, you still have that ability. But the simple matter of fact is, that won't always be true. Now, the Lord could come back tomorrow, and of course, our time of service would be over. We'd be taken up to heaven. But if he doesn't, if the Lord tarries, and you continue to age, as we all are, there's going to come a point where we just can't do what we can do now. What time do you have to serve the Lord? Right now. Right now. Now, I know serving the Lord can be in a lot of different fashions. If you're a mother and you're raising your children for the Lord, hallelujah, you're serving the Lord, okay? That may be the most important way you can serve the Lord. I understand that. But if you're a believer, God has something for you to do. God has gifted, starting with Mark Larkin. And I know this is hard to believe, but even Mark has spiritual gifts. You know, every one of us, God has gifted us in specific ways for the work of the Lord. Now, it may not be teaching, it may not be singing, it may not be the things that I do, which is good because there are a lot of things I can't do. And if we all had the same gifts, we got trouble. We're all gifted in some way. God has something for you to do. When should you do it? Right now. Don't we often go through life? I was talking to Johnny last night. Remember when you were a kid? Now, that's been a long time ago for a lot of us. And you thought, boy, when I just get to be that age, I'll get to do this, and life will be so much better. And you get in high school, and you think, man, you know, I'm going to get a car, and then you're going to get married, and you're going to have kids, and oh, it's just going to be wonderful. Let's be honest. When was the most carefree, fun time of life? When you're a kid, right? No responsibilities. You just showed up. You got fed. You know, you might have to put your, may have to, maybe it's some chores, but no, you know, you got no pressure. You know? But isn't that how, well, you know, when I get this settled, I'm going to serve the Lord. When I get these bills paid off, I'm going to serve the Lord. When my kids are grown and out of the house, I'm going to serve the Lord. You know, when I get all, when my ship comes in, I'm going to, you know, you've been waiting to that dock for a long time. It ain't coming, folks, all right? we're going to do this, we're going to do this. Hey, look, that day may never come. The time to serve the Lord is while it's day. It's now. Matthew 6:33, you know the verse probably. But seek ye second, third, fourth, or fifth the kingdom of God. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things, which are the things that consume our life, will be added unto you. Added unto you. You know why don't we serve the Lord? Let me give you the prerequisites for being a disciple, a follower. In Matthew 16:24, Jesus said to his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him what? Deny himself. That's where it stops for most of us. See, if we don't deny self, we're not going to serve God because we're too busy taking care of self. Let him deny himself. Number two, take up his cross, which is the cross of suffering, being willing to suffer for the Lord, and follow me. You know what? We never get to the third one, the follow me. No self-denial, no willingness to sacrifice for the Lord. Let me ask you a question. Think about this. What did you do this week that will matter 100 years from today? Think about that. What do you do? Now, I know you have to work. You know, there are things you have to do. I understand that. But all too often, those things become the things we live for instead of the means for serving God. Okay, number one, and I'm going to have to hurry. I've got two lessons. I'm not done with the first one. Number one, serve the Lord while you can. Number two, put, and I'm talking to the men mainly, put your family first. Put your family first. Now, I've been separated from my wife for a week. It's not what you're thinking. She's in Denver, and I'm here, okay? I went to Ohio. She went to Denver. She's ministering to her mom, and I was trying to minister to my dad. She's coming in Tuesday. Hallelujah. I'm looking forward to it already. But I tell you what, folks, there's going to come a day when mama's not coming home. It is so easy to get consumed with hobbies, sports, work. When you go to heaven, now again, I know we have to work. I know we do. I'm not saying lay around and do nothing, because that's not Bible either. If any man won't work, he shouldn't eat. Okay, that's Bible. But I'll be honest with you, there are times that my job takes priority over my family. Shouldn't be. Now, even you say, well, yeah, but you're in the church, you know. Of course, many people think I work Wednesday nights and Sundays, and that's it anyway, so I should have lots of time for my family, you know. It's no big deal. I've got enough to do here. I could spend all my time here. I really could. But there's going to be a day when your family's not there. And no one has ever said, when their spouse passed away or their children moved off or whatever, no, I've never heard anybody say, boy, I wish I had spent less time with my children. I wish I'd spent less time with my wife or my husband. No one's ever said that. No one ever will say that. I wish I spent more time with them. It's amazing to me the things that are so important. Remember when Tennessee played for the championship football? Remember that? How many remember that? How many don't remember that? How many don't care? See, there you go. There you go. Good. Yeah, all the Ohio State fans, you don't care. Yeah. Remember how important that was? For weeks before. Oh, it was great. Oh, man, take away. Oh, it's good. And then they won. And, oh, it was just wonderful. How important is that now? You say, I still got the shirt. Well, so what? Isn't it amazing? Things that become, and just be honest, I know you have to work, and I'm not throwing off on work, but gentlemen, your work can become your God. And when your work takes the place of where you should be doing in your family, it's not right. It's not right. And I'm preaching to myself too. Look, one day the family's going to be gone. It's going to be gone. If you've got children at home, turn around twice, they're gone. They're gone. Okay, number three. Number three. Okay, how are we doing? Number three. Let me preface this before I give you number three. Dad, again, mentally, I thought actually may have been a little better than last time. Physically, he sleeps most of the time, but he's able to get around. And you know, he can't walk in the daytime. He needs help in the daytime. But in the middle of the night, he can walk everywhere, you know. I haven't quite figured that one out yet, but I woke up in the middle. You know, his bedroom's over here, and I wake up in the middle of the night, and he's standing over here at the desk, and I think, how'd you do that? And I'm going to be very careful here, but you understand, as people get older, the main problem is plumbing. Can't turn off one and can't turn the other one on, okay? That's about as graphic as I want to be, okay? So we went to church Wednesday night. And right in the middle of service, it's crisis time. So we run to the, well, we went to the car as quickly as possible. We drive home as fast as we can. My brother gives him, you know, the prune juice, all that great stuff. And again, I'm trying to be careful here. But I sat in the tub for an hour and made my dad stay there. And he said, oh, you guys are just mean to me. You don't care about me, you know, and this, all this. You, let me out of here. And then I took him to Sam's the next day because my battery died in my car. So I went to Sam's. And it happened in the store. So here I am in a public restroom for a half hour. Now, I know that's minor. And many of you have been through things that are much, much worse than that. But here's my point. Here's the third point. Heaven will surely be worth it all. Aren't you glad this isn't the end for us as believers? What if it was? What if this was it? Wouldn't that be sad? Heaven, you know, I know there's coming a day when my dad's going to be healed. I know the best is yet to come. I still have a fork on my desk. Probably many of you think it's there so if food should happen to pass by, I can get it. But that's not the reason, all right? It's just to remind me the best is yet to come. Keep your fork. Keep your fork. The best is yet to come. And I tell you, believer, boy, that's true for us, isn't it? In Romans chapter 8, verse 18, Paul says, for I reckon, and again, I know I say this all the time, but it doesn't mean, do you reckon it's going to rain? He said, this is an accounting term. He said, I have reckoned that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. What a thought. If you take some balances and you put all the sufferings of your life, which for many of you are very, very difficult, and you put the glory of heaven on the other side, and you let go, what happens? They're not even worthy to be compared. I mean, have you ever put something on a scale and, well, I can give an illustration of this. I've done some dumb things in my life, and I did this 2 weeks in a row. Typically, if you're loading heavy things in a trailer, you need to have the front end attached to a vehicle. Okay? Because that 500-pound planer, when you set it on the tailgate of that trailer, is going to cause that crazy thing to go like this, you know?
Gravity,
yeah, it's still working. Yeah, it is a law. Yeah, exactly right. But just like the front of that trailer went up like that, you compare the troubles of this world and the difficulties of this world and the glory of heaven. And the glory of heaven is going to so far outweigh the troubles of this world that they're not even worthy to be compared. Wow. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? What an encouragement to the soul. So, three things that I just wanted to pass on and wanted you to ponder about. All right, lesson number two. Okay, we made it halfway through. I want to talk to you about the Word of God for just a few minutes. This is something God has been working in my life about, and I want to get you on board. Okay? So, before I tell you what I want you to do, I want to build up to it and try to see the importance of it. And then I want to challenge you, okay? Number one, if you're taking notes, the prophet of Scripture. The prophet of Scripture. Is Scripture profitable? Well, yes, it is. Can somebody give me a verse that tells that? It actually uses this word. Very good, yes. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. It is profitable. Now, it lists four things. Number one, for what? Doctrine. Doctrine is what's right. Look, if you want to know what's right, here you go. Don't go for years. I get up in the morning and I get online, go to Yahoo. I've just about quit. Whoever puts that junk on there has got to be the most liberal person in the world, and I'm just so tired of it. And I don't care what any of these entertainers think or say or do. And about three quarters of it now is that. They're actors and actresses. What do they know about anything? But anyway, that's a different hobby horse. How did I get up on that? What's right? Okay, here it is. For doctrine, for reproof. So it tells you what's right, tells you what's wrong. You want to know what's right, what's wrong? Get in the Word of God. For correction, it'll help you to get right, and then for instruction in righteousness, how to stay right. Okay? So the Word of God is profitable. Why? Because it tells you what's right, tells you what's wrong, tells you how to get right, and then it tells you how to stay right. It's all right here. In fact, in 2 Peter 1:3, it says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who hath called us to glory and virtue. What is he saying? What do you need to be spiritual? Well, you need to call Ernest Ainsley and send Ernest $500, right? No, you don't need some experience. Hallelujah, folks. Here's what you need. This is all you need to live a godly life. It is profitable. Secondly, not only the prophet of Scripture, but the power of Scripture. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6 real quickly. Ephesians chapter 6. And you know this passage. This is the armor of God passage. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Galatians, Ephesians, okay, good. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Notice verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to do what? Stand. There's the key word, to stand. Don't you want to stand spiritually? Aren't you tired of failing spiritually? He said, you need to stand. So he goes on in verse 12, talks about who the enemy is. Verse 13, wherefore take into the whole armor of God that you may be able to do what? Withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Are you getting an idea? What's the next word? Verse 14. Stand, therefore. And then he's going to give us the five pieces of armor. Now, what's interesting to me is every one of those pieces of armor is related to the Word of God. All right? Loins girt about with the truth. What's the truth? Thy word is truth. The breastplate of righteousness. How do you get to be righteous? The Word of God tells you the gospel. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Where's the gospel? Word of God. Taking the shield of faith. What's the shield of faith? How do you get faith? Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. The helmet of salvation, which I think is knowing you're saved. How do you know you're saved? Word of God. And then the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Look, the key to standing spiritually is simple. Not easy. Here it is. Here it is. The Word of God. The shield of faith. The sword of the Spirit. This is it. This is it. That it is powerful. The Word of God is powerful. In Psalm 119:11, you know this verse. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might what? Not sin. So what's he saying? If you have God's word in your heart, if you have it memorized and you are thinking about it and you use it, you can keep you from sin. It'll keep you from sin. You've heard the saying, this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. Undoubtedly true. Undoubtedly true. Number three, and this is really not a good title, the problem of scriptures. It's really not a problem of scripture. It's a problem of us. Now look, if this book is all you need to be what God wants you to be, if this book is all you need to keep you from sin, if this book is all you need to stand spiritually, what in the world is the problem? Because just to be honest with you, we're not there. I think of two problems. Number one, ignorance. We don't know what's in the book. We don't know what's there. We don't know what it says. We're ignorant about the truth. We don't read it. We don't study it. We don't listen to it. We don't know what's there. But I'll be honest with you, that's not my problem. In general, now I'm not saying I know everything in the Bible and I've got it all memorized and you just ask me three words and I'll tell you exactly where it is in the Bible. I'm not saying that. But I was raised in a preacher's home. I've been in church 58 years. In fact, 58 years and 9 months. I've memorized hundreds, maybe thousands of verses in my lifetime. I've read the Bible through multiple times. I went to school for 6 years to study the Word of God. I'll be honest with you. In most cases, my problem's not ignorance. So what's the other problem? Now, I've put down there apathy. You could say many things. We know it, but we're not doing it. We're not obeying it. We're not listening to it. We're not applying it to our lives. We know the truth. Does the Bible talk about gossip? Is it say it's good or bad or otherwise? It's bad, okay? How many of you have gossiped in the last year? Come on, liars. Raise your hand, you bunch of liars. Come on. It says not to lie, too. Sure. We know what we should do, right? Okay. This is a problem of application. Application. So, ignorance, apathy. Fourth point, the proper use of Scripture. Turn to Psalm 119. We're going to make it. I'm excited about this. Psalm 119. Something I heard when I was in college many years ago, the guy who said this is now in heaven. He called it the 4M principle, which you're familiar with 3M. I don't know what those 3M stand for, but I do know what the 4M stand for. Psalm 119. Four things we need to do with Scripture, starting in verse 9. 119, verse 9. 119, that's always kind of confusing, and verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word. The first M is mark. Mark the word of God. That means you got to read it, you got to see it, you mark it. Take heed to it. Pay attention to it. Moving on, and this one's a little easier. Verse 10, with my whole heart have I sought thee, O let me not wander from thy commandments. Here's the second M, verse 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. What's the second M? Memorize, very good. You mark it, you memorize it. Bow your heads just a minute. Close your eyes. I'm going to take a brief poll. Everybody close your eyes, bow your heads. I'm going to be very generous. Okay? I'm going to count 2018 and 2017. How many of you during that time have had a regular memorization program of Scripture? You're memorizing Scripture on a daily basis. How many? And I'm putting my hand up as an illustration, but I'm lying. Me neither. Let me ask you this. In 2018, okay, we're into May. So January, February, March, April. That's 4 months. How many of you have set out and memorized at least one verse in 4 months? One verse. I see one hand, two, three, four. Four, five, six. Good, good. How many have memorized at least five verses? Five verses in 4 months. Five verses, all right, good. I see one hand. And I think he's probably doing that in school, which is great. I'm not against that. But you can look this way. What's the second thing? Memorize. Okay? All right, I got to hurry. Look on at verse 15. You can see the next one. And it's real easy because it's right in the verse. I will, what's the third word? Meditate. Now, what is meditation? It's just thinking about whatever you have been reading. You meditate, you mull it over, you think it over. This is why memorization is the key. If you don't remember it, how can you meditate on it? Cannot be done. Got to meditate on it. And this leads to the fourth one, verse 17. Deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word. And the word there is master. To master the word of God. Now look, God has convicted me. I have memorized many, many verses in my lifetime. At this point in my life, I have no set scriptural memory program. God's convicted me about that. I'm going to start one. I have bought a book called Topical Memory Systems, put up by Navigators. Now, it's got 27,000 versions in it, but it has a King James, and so I'm using that, obviously. But here are the topics. Live the new life. Here are the verses. 2 Corinthians 5:17. I already know that one. Romans 12:1. I know that one. Now, here's the nice thing. A lot of these verses I already know, but I'm going to review them. There are 60 verses in this book. I'm going to learn one a week for 60 weeks. When I get done, my plan is to be able to sit down and quote 60 verses on these topics. Now, you can't just memorize a verse and then forget it. You got to review. And obviously, when you first start, your first week is just memorizing 2 Corinthians 5:17, which you know it. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things pass away. You already know that. That's easy. The next week, you memorize the second verse. You review the first verse. The next week, you memorize the third verse. You review the first two. And every week, you're adding a verse. Now, that's what I'm going to do. I'm committing myself in front of 94 of you. That's my guess. How many do we have? Oh, wow, it's 10 off. There are several around the building here. Mickey, those guys, we count those too. So, all right. That every day of my life for the next year, I'm going to be memorizing the Word of God. Now, again, a lot of this for me is going to be review because I've memorized these verses, but here's what I'd like you to do. I'd like you to join me. I'd like you to make the commitment to say, Gary, by the help of God, I'm going to join you. I'll provide the cards starting next week. That's all I can do for you is provide the cards. Every week in Sunday school, those that have memorized the verse will say it together. Now, I don't want you to commit today. I want you to pray about it for a week. Because this, to me, is very serious. I don't want to flip it. Well, you know, I'm moved by emotion. Boy, it's important. I want you to pray about it for a week. And next week, I'm going to bring the first cards, and I'm going to have a lot of faith. I'm going to bring lots of cards. Now, there may be one person that says, Gary, I'm going to join you. I hope there's more than that. There may be 20. There may be 30. Wouldn't it be great if there was 90? Okay? Listen, if the Word of God is that important and that powerful, then we sin if we're not doing what the Word of God says, to memorize it and to meditate on it, and to let it take over our minds. Look, the battle for your life is in your head. It's your mind. And we go through every day of our life and we put all kinds of junk in our minds. And then we have temptation and we fall. We don't know why. How do you change that? You pump the Word of God in day after day after day after day. So that's my challenge. You pray about it this week. God has laid this on my heart for me. I've already got the cards. I've put off starting because I want to start when you start, which is going to be next week. Now, if you want to cheat, 2 Corinthians 5:17 is the first verse, all right? So you can cheat if you want to. Again, many of them are familiar verses. Now, by the way, let me mention this. You may have a specific need in your life that is not covered by these verses, because these are basic verses. Relying on God's resources, proclaiming Christ, has the Romans Road. So a lot of these verses you're going to know. Living the new life, D is being Christ's disciple, and then the following is grow in Christ's likeness. There, you may have a specific need. Next week, I'm going to bring that handout that Pastor Jody had on something about verses for the tempter or whatever. Yeah, whatever that thing is. Because you may say, well, man, I've got this problem in my life and you're not dealing with it here. That's very possible. But that list will help you, and you can have a verse that you can quote when the devil tempts you. There are some verses that I know very well because I use them a lot. There are a lot of more verses I need to know so I can use them more. So, my challenge is, will you join me? Will you join me? Commit yourself to 60 weeks of Bible memory. 60 weeks. I said that to my wife. She said, well, that's longer than a year. Yes, I said it is. But they can do that. They can do that. 60 weeks. 60 weeks. Okay? You pray about it. So, today was a shotgun approach, okay? One of those little BBs is bound to get you, all right? Be a help to you. Hope it was encouragement and help today. Pray about what God would have you to do. Wouldn't it be great if God spoke to about 40 or 50 people in this class and they committed and learned 60 verses, memorized 60 verses, not just to say, well, I have memorized 60 verses, but to apply them to our life, to change us, to make us what God wants us to be. All right? All right. Love you all. Appreciate you. Let's pray. Lord, you've been speaking to me, and I've tried to relay to these folks what you've spoken to me about. God, it's time that we get serious with the Word of God. And Lord, I pray that you would just speak to your number. I'd love to have everybody commit to it. My, how it would change our lives if we would just memorize and meditate and master the Word of God. Lord, just take these thoughts and apply them to our lives. Change us. Make us what you want us to be. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for your patience for this dual lesson. Ed, great to have you, buddy.